This touched on every single aspect of what we do. I like to say to my staff when we're working on things, let's not reinvent the wheel. We had to reinvent the wheel.
That is Joshua Collins, Director of Transportation for the Peoria Public School District. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.
It's Tuesday, June 23rd. Coming up, some news to start off your day. It's On Deck from WCBU Peoria Public Radio. The Peoria Public Schools Board is mapping out a return-to-school plan for this fall after COVID-19 forced schools to move online this March. Colin Shope reports.
Joshua Collins, Director of Transportation for Peoria Public Schools, has been working with a committee of educators, parents, and health experts on this plan since late April. They've held more than 60 meetings, with 7 subcommittees covering specific issues like wellness, instruction, and technology. The amount of work is staggering, but as Collins points out, so is the challenge that the committee faces.
This touched on every single aspect of what we do. I like to say to my staff when we're working on things, let's not reinvent the wheel. We had to reinvent the wheel.
The plan, as presented to the board in Monday night's meeting, uses what they refer to as a hybrid model. Students that opt in for in-person learning will attend school twice a week in rotating groups. Ideally, students will be in what they call bubbles, using one specific classroom, hallway, and restroom throughout the day. All staff will be wearing masks, and they're recommended for students, but not required. Board President Dan Adler says some hard trade-offs had to be made.
Maybe the second largest topic talked about in the community, you know, is what getting back to the normalcy of what school looks like, and, you know, with that vision of exactly how we left it in March. The situation, while it has improved since we left, it's not like the risk is gone.
After a 2-hour presentation, there are still a lot of questions, but the board emphasized that the process is fluid and the plan is still evolving. For WCBU Peoria Public Radio, I'm Colin Shope.
Here are some of the stories on deck in the WCBU newsroom today. Peoria Police Chief Lauren Marion says the department is changing its physical testing requirements for recruits. He says while candidates are aware of the testing requirements at the police academy, many are hired only to wash out of the process when they can't muster a passing grade on the state-mandated physical. Tri-County health officials say another resident tied to Peoria's university rehab has died of COVID-19 complications. The death of the woman in her 80s brings the region's death toll to 35. On Friday, Illinois will enter Phase 4 of its COVID-19 reopening plan. That means there can be larger gatherings, and it will allow for the opening of venues such as theaters, fitness centers, and restaurants. For more news on these and other stories, go to WCBU.org. You're listening to On Deck from WCBU Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Activists have added school resource officers to the larger conversation of police reform in the United States. Some call for the removal of police from schools. Others are looking at ways to change officer roles. Dana Vollmer reports on what that looks like in Peoria Public Schools.
School-based policing is a fast-growing sector of law enforcement, but Peoria Public Schools has had a police force for decades. Chief DeMario Boone says the department was established in the 1970s to handle race riots breaking out in the schools. He says officers got to know students before problems arose.
Our approach to law enforcement or criminal justice is the reform that everybody is now asking for. And what I mean by that is, you know, I have officers that will walk hallways and they can literally see a kid not going to class, talk to that kid, and it turns into getting services for the home.
Boone says that could be tutoring, counseling, or even food. He says his team focuses less on what a student did wrong and more on how they can help address the root cause of that behavior. Until 2014, the campus police department operated independently of other law enforcement agencies and had a separate certification. Boone says a former superintendent didn't want police in the schools and disbanded the unit. Since then, they've operated as a school safety team. Boone says that has its drawbacks.
When we had arrest powers and the firearms, when there were fights in the school. The arrests weren't automatic. We were able to do all sorts of things to just eliminate, okay, we're not going to take this kid to jail. But if you don't have a department and you have an officer from the outside who's running from call to call citywide and gets a call to your school that, hey, this student hit this teacher, the officer is coming there to clear the call because he's got a backlog of several calls waiting.
It has also meant the district had to bring in city police to handle armed security. School board member Dan Walther says the district was paying $260,000 a year to staff Peoria Police and the three high schools. He says they've since struck a deal with the state's attorney's office to allow some of their own guards to carry guns again.
City of Peoria actually is in a much tougher financial problem than we are. And plus the fact, I think they need these three guys back on the street, not sitting in the high schools. It's a win-win for both of us. We've got our own people who we feel very confident in the high schools, and then they've got three more people back on the police force for Peoria.
Still, there's some pushback to having police in schools at all. Charles Bell teaches criminal justice at Illinois State University. His research focuses on Black students and parents' perceptions of school safety measures. Bell has interviewed about 160 students and parents in Illinois and Michigan over the last 3 years.
Students, regardless of the school's location, so urban, suburban, students overwhelmingly harbor negative feelings about school guards, because they view the guards as aggressive, as sort of overstepping their boundaries.
Bell says students didn't seem to have a problem with the guards being around as long as they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, like breaking up fights. But he says students often felt the guards escalated situations by behaving aggressively.
Now, parents, on the other hand, are divided. So you have parents in suburban school districts, particularly primarily white areas, that had favorable interactions with school guards and kind of viewed the resource officers as a team, in a sense.
Bell says parents in urban districts are more mixed on the question. He says they want a barrier between schools and violence in the community, but they also feel resource officers criminalize their children. He says there's an opportunity to create a healthier environment when administrators, parents, and students have open conversations about community needs. Chief Boone says the concern about criminalizing students is valid, but he says it's an art his department has mastered.
I think that having the culture right when you have school resource officers is a huge asset for a school district. And I think we're an anomaly because we've been doing it so long, it's just like second nature to us to immediately not look at what's wrong with that kid, but what happened to them and try assisting that way.
And he says that's a lesson other law enforcement agencies could learn. I'm Dana Vollmer.
And before we let you go, the Peoria City Council meets again tonight to discuss potentially cutting dozens of police and fire jobs as the city tries to plug its $50 million budget deficit. You can listen to those proceedings live on 89.9 FM or WCBU.org starting at 6 p.m. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.